Welcome to Profiles in Risk. This is your host, Tony Canyas. And today I have with me Sheldon Scott Orwinger. And I did not ask you how to pronounce your last name. Was I close?
Pretty darn close. Right on, Tony.
Perfect. Thank you for joining me today. We're recording on December 20th, so we're probably the two people left that are still working this time of the year. So Sheldon sits on the board of GIA, the Global Insurance Accelerator out of Iowa, and you've been there for the whole time, a whole 10 years. So congrats on that. So I'd love to hear the story. How did you end up sitting on the board of GIA? What's the story of GIA?
Well, I think it's a great story. GIA was started by the Greater Des Moines Partnership. There had been a failed general accelerator in Des Moines, and they realized that's no reason to turn your back on the accelerator market. So they were fairly early, going back. It's been we're starting our we just we're going to announce our 10th season, or our 10th cohort will be announced in early January. So probably 10 and a half years ago, they set on a mission to obviously find investors. And there's a star-studded group, including Principal and many others that are the current investors. But they also wanted an outside board member or two that had background in entrepreneurialism, startups. In my case, they were looking for someone with either corporate CEO experience, entrepreneurial experience, venture capital, angel investing, and I was able to really cross every one of those.
Okay. How has it grown and changed over 10 years?
We're doing some statistics. We have a new alumni network director, and we're getting ready for the kickoff in January. And we've had 65 companies that have come through. And we're still gathering the information, but we've raised, I shouldn't say we've raised, the companies have raised a collective $150, $160 million so far.
Fantastic.
They've raised that, some through us and obviously most through third parties, the venture capital firms. That's been great. We take early companies. We take ones from some of the best ones, including Cowbell, or a great jockey in Jack, who had a great idea with a great background, but it had not been developed. There was no MVP. It was just a concept. We've taken them all the way through to, from concept to pre-MVP to MVP to product, and some with a couple hundred thousand dollars of revenue. So we've taken a real mix over the previous 9 years.
Yeah, GIA definitely has a reputation of being the one insurtech accelerator that is more willing to take very, very early stage. And I know it's not all you take, but definitely a super important part of the ecosystem. So you've seen a ton of pitches. What advice do you have for insurtech pitching to GIA?
Be first of all on the if I'm just talking to him about pitching, be yourself. Nothing is worse than someone trying to be something they're not. And as far as what stage you're in, that's really the key. Again, since we are willing to take pretty early, very early, products or companies into the GIA, just be honest where you're at. Let the selection committee is made up of the board members and then the different information teams at the different carriers. So it's not unlikely that 20 or 30 or 40 people from a certain carrier will actually be involved to help vet that company on behalf of that company. We don't know under the cover what all the different carriers that make up our board really think is important. I mean, we can say cyber is important, and we can say, maybe something in reinsurance. We can say whatever we want to say, but it's really what they're looking for. And so then they all have a vote. Every company has an equal vote. And then we go through a process of discussing out the different potential companies till we get to a selection process.
Okay. Before we start recording, we were talking about your other side project or your current day job today, which has some relation here. So what do you do outside of GIA?
Well, I mean, I've got well over 150 angel investments. So some people think that's all I do, but most of them are passive. We do have a small fund, Manco Seed Fund, with some other gentlemen, and that keeps me a little busy. But my side hustle is a mentee came to me about wanting to buy a business. He said, I can't find anything online. Then he found something online, paid some money, and then we talked about it. And he said, after about a half hour, he goes, hey, I just learned 10 times more from you than I learned buying this video online. So he asked me to go through a Google Doc. And over the next 3 or 4 months, this was about a year ago, I typed 39 pages of answers to his business questions. That led him to asking me to write a book. And I told him, I said, I think you've gotten everything out of me you're going to get. But we did last spring and summer, we recorded a course, what became a course, 3.5 hour course called How to Buy a Business for a First Time Buyer. It's great if someone wants to buy a brokerage, if someone wants to buy an insurtech. It'd be good if someone wanted to buy a painting company, could buy a manufacturing company. It goes through the 10 different chapters or 10 different steps to buying a business, from location to type of business to where do you find a business, where do you find financing, how do you do due diligence, how do you negotiate a purchase price, so forth and so on. It's 3.5 hours. I think it's pretty good work, but of course I had something to do with it. The people that have seen it, I think, like the product. And I'm kind of trying to, on the insurance side, there's a lot of people that want to buy a brokerage. I think it's a great time to buy a brokerage with the aging population of a lot of the independent brokers out there. So, we've had a couple companies that have come through GI that are helping that process as well. But I think this is good from a truly from an entrepreneur standpoint. There's all sorts of different kinds of entrepreneurs. I was a corporate entrepreneur at one point and I had 1,000 people under me. People said, hey, you're up for Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year. They had 1,000 employees. Obviously, we think of entrepreneurs usually as the startup guy with a great idea or a piece of software, one or two people. That's an entrepreneur. I think another leg of the table is the entrepreneur who actually buys a business, smaller business, could whatever the size is, and then takes charge and tries to lead that, into the future.
Okay, so the 3.5 hours, ten episodes. Where do you find that?
You find that at cocoongrowth.co. The name of the company is cocoongrowth.co.
Cocoongrowth.co. Okay, and how is the series priced?
It's currently $1,000 for all 10 episodes.
Okay. And is there a like Q&A on the videos?
Well,
Can you leave my questions?
one thing I would offer to all your listeners is, if anybody wants kind of a bonus hour on top of the course, I'm happy to do that with any of your listeners.
Okay, fantastic. So if they buy the course, listen to it, they have a question,
Yeah, we'll take care of
let
them.
you know for an hour of
We've always intended to do something like that, but that's kind of hard to put into a pricing model. But we'll do that for all your listeners.
Fantastic. All right, cocoongrowth.co.
Dot co.
Okay, and when did it launch?
Launched about 45 days ago, right
Okay.
before ETC. Yeah.
Okay, so very, very fresh and very updated information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Tony. Really appreciate it.